Blog Talk Radio. This is the EWN Radio Network.
When we love someone deeply, that grief is always there. It changes and shifts, and we can heal so deeply inside of it, and yet to be gentle with each other.
Music. Places, everybody, places. We're starting in 3, 2.
It's time for Life Interrupted Radio, a show dedicated to practical skills for your mind, body, and soul. We're hoping we'll go in one ear and stay there. Here's the host of the show, Sharon Saylor.
Welcome, everyone, to another Life Interrupted Radio. Thank you, Wayne, for that great introduction. Always wonderful. Oh my goodness, I've had some interesting talks this week about life interruptions. And what does that mean? Sometimes people think that it only means really devastating news, bad things. And people don't really think about, is there any good that comes out of the bad things, the bad interruptions that happen in our life? It's fascinating to me when you begin to talk to people about their mindsets. Speaking of mindset, I've got my tea here. Let me have a drink of that. It's a green tea. I'm your host, Sharon Saylor, from SharonSaylor.com, where I help people understand the power of courageous, conscious communication. I'm all about speaking up for ourselves, advocating for ourselves, and those who don't have a voice, including those that have had a life interruption. Sometimes they may have felt they had a voice in everything they needed before, and then life interrupted, maybe they need an advocate at that point or a voice. So empowering you to know how to say things to people, what to say to people, how to help people understand. That's really what Life Interrupted Radio is about. And we've got a great guest. A few weeks ago, we had Dr. Robert Wright Jr. on talking about mother loss and grief. It really sparked a lot of conversation. And as such, I decided to ask Carol Marie Downing to join us. She is the author of the recently released book, Singing Beyond Sorrow, A Year of Grief, Gratitude, and Grace. She wrote it in the year following the death of her husband from cancer in 2012. And in it, she chronicles her personal journey of grief and the process of navigating life as a young widow with a 6-year-old son, trying to be a good parent and in her own grief and helping her son through his grief. My goodness, it's quite a story. And Carol's background as a hospice nurse really helped her get through this, and she has some great tips for us if we're going through grief. She holds a master's degree in spiritual psychology as well, and she is a professional coach that specializes in parenting, grief coaching, and supporting individuals through these life transitions. So who better than to have on Life Interrupted Radio, right? Somebody that specializes in life transitions. And tonight we're going to talk about finding gratitude in every day, even in the midst of loss. How do we acknowledge grief and even support those that are in grief? So maybe if you're not in grief right now, but you know someone who is, how can you be of best service to them? We'll also be focusing on the small steps to stay in the present moment, to learn to embrace life again. Now, sometimes focusing on small steps in the present moment, here again, you may not be in grief, but Carol shares some amazing tips with us. I'm sure you can tell why I wanted to have Carol on Life Interrupted. Her story, her book, Singing Beyond Sorrow, when you hear her story, it does sound heart-wrenching and a lot of grief. But tonight, after meeting Carol, it's all about uplifting and understanding, how to approach life with gratitude. So welcome to Life Interrupted Radio, Carol.
Thank you so much for having me, Sharon.
Tell us a little bit about the story of what brought you to this deep understanding. I know you have a background in hospice work. It sounds like you might have had a couple of the tools needed that the rest of us don't have before you had to go through this horrendous process of your husband transitioning through cancer. So tell us a little bit about your story and what brought you to write the book, Singing Beyond Sorrow.
Sure, thank you. You know, I did have a pretty extensive background in nursing and in hospice. I thought I knew a lot about illness and grief and bereavement. And what I learned is that when it really began to impact my own life, that on all levels, personal, emotional, physical, spiritual, it affected me in ways that I hadn't anticipated. And luckily at the time, my husband and I, just after he was diagnosed, had decided to go back to a program in spiritual psychology to really look at some of the different elements of healing. And at that time, I started a practice of writing gratitude every night. It was part of the way that I was finding my way through his illness and treatment and everything that we had to manage at that time. And as it turned out, after his death, it was something that I was already in the habit of doing, really as spiritual support and emotional support. And so I just began to write every day. And I didn't just write about gratitude. And I think, as with most things in life, I had to express a lot of the pain that was happening as well. But what I found is that if I also included what was still here, what still helped me greet each day and what I could find gratitude for, no matter how small, that it kept me afloat day by day. It kept me being able to engage with my son as a parent. And I really had never anticipated for it to be a book. About 6 months into the process, I began to realize that it might be helpful for other people to see that it was a tool, a way of finding my way through that might touch other people, also to let them know that they weren't alone in grief. So then I began to see it as something to share.
It's interesting that you say that words of, as you said, keep me afloat. And I appreciate that, because so often people don't understand the depth and they'll say things too quickly, like just a few days or a month, and you feel like the rest of the world just wants you to snap out of it or get over it. And I appreciate the concept of, hey, look, sometimes it's just moment by moment. It's just keeping my head above water, right?
Yes, so much of the time. Yeah. I think something to speak to really importantly on that same realm, because I think societally and culturally, we're a little bit uncomfortable talking about grief. And so the expectation of a month or 6 months or a year, that there might be some time at which it's just, you know, we can let go or be done with that. And even my own book, in writing for a year, that was just kind of a, you know, time where it felt natural to move into different things. But, you know, I'm very aware that, you know, when we love someone deeply, that grief is always there. It changes and shifts, and we can heal so deeply inside of it. And yet to be gentle with each other in the awareness of how, yes, as you said, how deeply it touches us, and how oftentimes, even years later, there'll be times when it hits us in ways where we can just get through the day.
And I'm glad you bring that up about years later, because oftentimes I've found, even in losses from years ago for myself, something will trigger me, and there may be a short period of time or even a day, two or more, where I'm snapped back into something similar to grief. I'm not sure it's at that same depth, but it can be a trigger. Somebody, I hear a song, or somebody's voice sounds just like the lost loved one, and I turn around in the store because I'm thinking, oh my goodness, that voice sounds so familiar. And the ability to allow us to grieve in our own way. What are some things, as you went through the grieving process, that you would say, wow, other people did that worked, that were beneficial? Because I can think of many things that oftentimes we do that, so share the ones, maybe the don't do's as well, but please share a few of the, yeah, that really works.
Right. You know, I think the most powerful thing, and it's the thing that, you know, there's several friends who are aware of and that I really try to be aware of when I'm with someone in grief, is just to be present. I think we often underestimate just the power of our presence, just even letting someone know. I think the kindest thing we can say is, I don't know how you feel. I can't imagine what it might be like, but I want you to know I'm here. Just the simplicity of that has been very helpful for me.
I love that. That's beautiful. Taking it beyond grief, I want to say that helped in so many places, though, too. Not just the grief of the loss of a loved one, yes, but even in other types of grief, the grief of finding out you have an illness, the grief of, there's many other places where something like that, is, I can't imagine how you'd feel, but I'm here, kinds of comments, and just being there, oftentimes in silence. I know some people can't handle silence. They get very fidgety and anxious. Anxiety comes up in silence, but is helpful in all sorts of life transitions.
Mm-hmm. I think we want to be acknowledged. I think all of us want to be acknowledged for what we're going through, and I think we want to be heard. And, you know, one of the reasons I wrote the book is we don't want to be alone. We want to know, you know, I think that sense of, yes, I've been through something too, but I can't imagine yours, but, you know, that they're not alone in it, I think makes a big difference. It establishes that connection to something deeper.
It does make a big difference, I think, too. And when someone, even when they say, I can't imagine what it's like, and it's okay to sit there in silence, but it also opens the door for someone to say, oh, well, this is what it's like for me. And then to sit there as just a very patient, kind, generous listener, holding that space for the person really allows a lot of things to come out that perhaps in many situations they felt they weren't allowed to say or weren't in a space where maybe they felt safe to say. To me, creating that safe space for someone to be able to open up and share is that beginning that part to where then all of a sudden as they begin to share or tell their story, they might begin to see little tremors, little sparkles of, oh my goodness, well, there is a little silver lining here, or there is a little gratitude there. Is that how it opened up for you?
You know, I love the way that you've expressed that process. I hadn't really thought of it that way before, but I think that's exactly it. You know, whether we begin to write or whether we begin to speak, just that awareness is as we're heard, as we're acknowledged, as we're witnessed, whether it's by ourselves or by someone who's present to us, that witnessing gives room for the story to come out. When we're finished talking, then maybe there's a little bit more story. I think that's what you're speaking to. And that is how it's worked for me. That if I'm in the presence of someone who I know is really there and really wants to be supportive but maybe doesn't know what to do, that just being able to share eventually moves me into a place of engagement with them that's possibly about something quite different once it's been heard what I'm going through, and gives me room to support them for whatever they're going through.
Absolutely. I was thinking in my own case, grief is all-encompassing. To the listener, it's not just about death. You can be grieving over many types of things. It has different varying scales of it. But I was thinking of even when I was diagnosed with my medical condition, just having a dear friend of mine who knows how to listen really well, it was so helpful. She didn't say a lot. But it was just helpful to be able to go through the whole process, the what ifs and the whys, and the, I guess my thought would be, I was sort of talking to things.
Exactly. I think the engagement with someone else creates that kind of, initiates some kind of a different process where we're not stuck in the same rut because we're just in our brain, where there's an openness and a creativity that maybe emerges when we're able to talk with someone else that might bring us the things that are supportive that we may not have thought of on our own.
And I think that's where books like yours come in so important, to us, allow people to expand. We can't know it all. Why we think we should bear up or buck up during a grief if we've never gone through it is just ludicrous to me. So that's why I think finding books like yours who help people, like, hey, look, I was here, and these are some of the things I've done, and this is some of the things that worked and some things that didn't work, and this is how it's feeling, is so critically important for people to know that they're not alone. What are some of the other things that you suggest people to do? So the first one is always about spending a little time at the end of every day finding some little bit of gratitude for the day. What are some other suggestions that you have?
I think probably the thing that helped me the most, that was actually the hardest thing to do, and I had a really talented grief counselor really support me in this, was to move toward grief rather than away.
Move toward grief. Wow.
Yeah. Which, it doesn't sound all that great, you know? But I found that the amount of energy, emotionally and physically, that I was using to keep grief down or avoid grief or not talk about it, or they took up so much energy. And that, you know, at times, whether I was with someone who could really listen and hear me, or even if I was alone at times, to either write or to let myself cry, let myself feel the depth of what was coming forward. And what I found is that if I did that, if I gave my emotions a name and could go through them, that there was room. And I really believe that it's a way of creating room in our hearts for joy to come back in. We're full and holding on tight to the grief that's present and yet not expressing it. I was really closed down. I wasn't giving room for anything else to come in. And I found that the physical release of actually mourning, and mourning is kind of the physical expression of grief, created room for me to put energy in other places as well. It was counterintuitive, but it made a big difference for me.
It is counterintuitive. And I imagine, though, I can understand where I could say, yes, I can move towards it and understand it. Was there things that you had to do, though? Because I can imagine maybe people that are trying to be supportive don't know what to do with us when we're crying, or don't know what to do with us. And that goes back, I think, to what we were just saying about just silent witness to it all is helpful. Is there other things that you can suggest that help hold that space for people? Because I'm wondering if, as someone who's trying to be helpful and all of that, that our own anxiety can get in the way.
Right. Sure. Well, I think, you know, on two levels, even personally, it's just us with our grief. I think there's this feeling that if we start to cry, we might never stop.
Mm.
And I think that that's a very real fear. And I think it can also be a symptom of if we are not able to stop, if it's taking over any aspect of being able to step into our lives, then some support might be a really wise, you know, professional support might be a wise way to come forward. But I think initially to move through that fear and to know that if we release, if we let those tears come through, then we will stop. You know, there will be room. Very similarly for someone who's sitting with someone else who's grieving, even just a very easy way of saying, you know, I'm here. I can't imagine all that you're feeling. And if the person starts to cry, just a gentle reminder of, it's okay. I'm here. It's okay to cry.
Lovely, because I think a lot of people get anxious when someone else is crying, like, I have to fix it.
Right, I have to make this stop. Yeah, it's like we want to fix it so that it's... And I think part of it is because it makes us uncomfortable. You know, to witness suffering is challenging.
Yeah, oh my goodness, absolutely. Well, we need to take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to talk more with Carol Marie Downing, the author of the fantastic book, Singing Beyond Sorrow, A Year of Grief, Gratitude, and Grace, about what we can do as the witness of grief, as the person moves through the process, and now we've learned about the very early stages, but let's move on to how we can talk about, as they move through, how we can support people move through the process and support ourselves if we find ourselves in that process. So we'll be back after this commercial break.
Life Interrupted Radio will return after these messages from our sponsors. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. Be sure and stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com to learn more. This episode is brought to you by mindfulnessinactionbook.com. To get your free 4-minute guided meditation to relax, refresh, and renew in just 4 minutes, and who doesn't have 4 minutes? Stop by mindfulnessinactionbook.com now. This guided meditation is in handy MP3 format, so you can use it anywhere, anytime. Download it now at mindfulnessinactionbook.com.
Do you want to be a better leader, have better relationships, become more self-aware, be a better communicator? Hi, I'm Sharon Saylor, best-selling author, professional speaker, and executive coach, and my life passion is empowering professionals to be the best that they can be. After years of working with professionals, I've discovered the 7 things nobody is telling you that can cost you your clients, sales, and even your career. And I want to give it to you free. You've heard my show, you know my passion, and maybe we'll be working together sooner rather than later. So go grab this ebook now to find out the 7 things that's costing you big time. over at SharonSaylor.com/radio gift.
Welcome back, everyone, to Life Interrupted Radio. We're speaking with Carol Marie Downing, author of the book Singing Beyond Sorrow, A Year of Grief, Gratitude, and Grace, which was written in the year following the death of her husband from cancer in 2012. And Carol's been sharing with us suggestions, tips, and ways for you if you are in the grief process now, or if you are a witness to someone and want to be supporting someone who is in the grief process as well. Carol, so we've shared the idea of how just acknowledging that what they're going through, or acknowledging to yourself that it's okay, that this is the natural process that we all go through when we lose someone we love. Let's say that that person has moved through that, and as you mentioned, just beginning to notice there's the little space for joy in their hearts. What are some ways that both from us that we maybe were noticing a little space for joy in our heart, but what are some ways as us, as people supporting them, can also begin to support, but not overwhelm? I can see if someone could say, oh my goodness, they're laughing again. They must be better or something like that. And all of a sudden going from 0 to 100.
Boy, I so love that you brought that point up about laughing. I think, you know, it is one of those things. I know that I felt in grief, like if I was laughing or if someone saw me laughing, that they might think that was all better and I was over it. And I think it's an easy misconception to have. So I think someone who's supporting someone in grief is that if we see a glimmer of, maybe who we know them to be and they're moving forward into that presence of life, to support them in that and to engage and follow through in that and yet not make any assumptions about what that means. I don't know if we need to speak to it directly, but to be present with them in whatever emotion they're feeling. And what I found is that if I was feeling joy, sometimes feeling too much joy would move me right back over into tears because I would realize he wasn't there with me in that joy. So I think as a friend, just having the ability to be present to whatever emotion is rising and not have any preconceived notions of what any expression of feeling might mean.
Oh, I love that. Not having any preconceived notion of what it might mean. I can see where that could be hard, though. I remember the old, I'll just use the name Susan, I remember the old Susan or whatever. And here I see a glimmer of her coming back and I want my friend back now kind of thing. I could see where it could be really difficult to try as the supporter trying to rush the process.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting, one of the other wonderful things that I love when people say, and I try to be present to with other people who are in grief, and if you notice them, if you have a really wonderful afternoon with them or spend some time like, oh, we've had a really wonderful time this afternoon, how is that for you? And that's it. That's the question, is how is that for you? What's this like? Without any notion of whether it's hard or whether it's easy.
Wow. That's a powerful question. My first thought, Carol, was, I wonder if they'd be able to answer that. I mean, is that a question that sometimes stops people for a second and they have to sort of go into the internally and sort of do a little sorting or something? I mean, that's a powerful question.
Yeah, it is, and maybe it's a question that I use quite often as a coach, when someone's, maybe so that's why it is a powerful question. I think it's meant for, what are you experiencing? What is this like? Because I don't know, and I want to know from you what this is like, so that I'm not caught up in assuming something.
Wow, that's such a powerful question, because I'm thinking of a number of times that if someone asked me that question, I wouldn't know how to respond quickly. Now, maybe it would feel like it was a long time in my brain that I'd gone in and sort of searched through everything. Maybe it would just feel longer than it technically was, the clock. But that's an amazing, powerful question that I'm not sure even in, say, not in grief or we're not in an emotional, some sort of difficulty or life interruption, that a lot of people could really answer quickly. Or I can even think of a few people I'd be curious if they could answer that or not. Wow, what an amazing question. So share with us again how it works, because that one really, I was like, wow.
Yeah, well, and I think as you're speaking, one of the things that I would be aware of is that, it's not a question that I would ask someone like, in the height of laughter or, right in the midst of things. But, So it's not like you're, you know, to use it to stop, but, you know, at a moment of connection, maybe at the end of your time together or, you know, or in another deep conversation, you know, just asking how it is for them to experience different parts of what it means to come alive after grief. And, you know, so maybe this is someone you're relatively close with and you see them coming alive, and just ask, what is that like for you?
Wow. That's a great question. I mean, such a connection building question for sure. Thank you for sharing that. I think it would really bring you both very active in the present moment as well. You speak a lot in the book about being in the present moment. It's all too often, it's not that easy to be in the present moment, especially in times of grief where there are, and loss of a loved one, where there are a lot of questions about the future. Share with us some tips that you have for staying in the present moment.
Sure. I think that this was probably, and still is, one of the most powerful things for me, particularly I think grief has the capacity to spin us off into fear and concern about the future in particular. You know, when a death happens of someone close to us, really everything changes and so much comes into question. You know, it's not always just the loss of a loved one, but, you know, the loss of every dream attached or every plan attached with that person in the future. So I think we can be very liable to be pulled away from the present moment. And when I find myself in places like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? Are we going to move? Or how's my work going to change? If I start to spin off, it really is the consistent practice of coming into the present moment. What's happening right now? Does that decision need to be made right now? Or if I'm, you know, really anxious about it, really going to my five senses, you know, the sky is blue. I can hear my dog breathing next to me. You know, I can feel the warmth of the candle next to me, so that I'm engaging my five senses to come back to the present moment to see what I'm really feeling, as opposed to something my mind has constructed that's either in the future or the past and isn't really attainable to this moment.
What a wonderful tip, because too often now people say present moment and they attach it to the word meditation, and I love that you had the tip of bringing it back to our senses and extreme moment, like just this minute moment, I feel the warmth of the candle or that little wisp of wind on my cheek, is a fascinating and wonderful way to really connect with the present moment, to see how helpful it is just to bring yourself back to your senses and take a moment to savor those little things that might bring you joy, such as, I love having a lit candle in the evening. There's something relaxing about it. So I appreciate that you bring that up as a way to bring us back to the present moment.
Yeah, or a cup of tea. I heard you mention tea earlier, but, you know, anything that can, you know, we can tangibly feel or see or hear can bring us to right here and what's important right here, what needs to happen right now or not happen.
I think that's critical in all types of transition is, you know, let's just get through right now. And right now we'll continue to be right now. We'll continue to be right now. There will be moments of momentum. There will be moments of change. The idea of not too far out in the future is really important for people to understand that our mind can get lost in scenarios that will never happen. Take away any little moment of joy that might be happening right in front of us.
Exactly. It's so true. So true.
We're just about out of time, but I want to share the other part of your story is that you, at the time that your husband passed away, had a 6-year-old son, and oh my goodness, it's hard enough dealing with our own grief. Share with us tips for parenting and helping someone else at that level, which is much different than as a friend, I think. Share with us some ideas about what you found worked for you as you took with your son. You both went through this together.
Sure, yeah. And boy, I think that that has been probably the place I've learned the most and also has been the most challenging. And I think it, parents, again, we don't like to see our child in pain or and suffering in any way. And, you know, I realized right away that this was something that I couldn't fix for him. I couldn't take away that this happened in his young life. but I could really frame it for him. And to have our story be that, you know, the acknowledgement of the loss, and we talk about him and the awareness of it. And yet it's that awareness of also to accept our grief, to support it, to support his grief, and to also offer opportunities for growth and how do we move on while still acknowledging. And for my son, it was really, you know, he actually didn't, I think one of the most important things to say about children is that they grieve very developmentally. Like wherever they are in their developmental stage will make an impact on how their grief comes out. And for my son, he was only 6 when my husband died, and the permanence of it for him was very not clear. And he didn't, you know, he kept thinking he was coming back, which was very painful for me as a parent. And yet I, you know, needed to support that gently. And then as he got a little older and became very aware that his father wasn't coming back, that's when he grieved more actively. And it was almost a year later. And that's when I actually went and found some support for him with a children's and family group to support him in being with other kids. But I think, you know, one key is to really look at where children are developmentally and what their concepts of death and grief may be at those different stages, and as a parent to just be, again, be present and to witness, and just like a friend, to know that we don't know exactly how they're experiencing it, and to just try to reflect to them what they might be feeling and give them room to express what they are.
That's wonderful to know. I love the concept or the idea where you brought up, because I think at some level I knew it, but until you said it, it didn't really sink in the depth of that, about what is the child's developmental understanding of this. I'm thinking of my little 3-year-old granddaughter who still covers her eyes and thinks she's invisible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then at the 6-year-old level, still not understanding the permanence of what has happened, is an understanding like, I, as a parent, might be at a completely different place a year from now when the child's grieving is just starting.
Yeah.
Fascinating. Oh, my goodness. We could just go on and on here. I think that could be an entire, another interview here, Carol, about understanding how to help our children at each developmental stage. My goodness, maybe there's another book in it there for you, Carol, because I just love Singing Beyond Sorrow. It was so... it's so personal, yet you fill it with so many things where I go, I've never looked at it that way. Wow, what an interesting way to look at it. And I mean that in a very gratitude type of way, where I was just always, in a way, on the edge of my seat going, my goodness, what evolves? How does this evolve? How does the story evolve? So it's a lovely book. I encourage everyone to go get Singing Beyond Sorrow, A Year of Grief, Gratitude, and Grace. And Carol, how can the audience learn more about you, the book, and your work?
You have a website that they could follow me on. It's cmdowning.com, and so you can reach me through my website there.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Thank you so much for being my guest on Life Interrupted Radio and sharing your story today, Carol.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me, Sharon. It's been delightful.
And everyone, we'll be back after this commercial break.
Life Interrupted Radio will return after these messages from our sponsors. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. Be sure and stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com to learn more. This episode is brought to you by mindfulnessinactionbook.com. To get your free 4-minute guided meditation to relax, refresh, and renew in just 4 minutes, and who doesn't have 4 minutes? Stop by mindfulnessinactionbook.com now. This guided meditation is in handy MP3 format, so you can use it anywhere, anytime. Download it now at mindfulnessinactionbook.com.
Do you want to be a better leader, have better relationships, become more self-aware, be a better communicator? Hi, I'm Sharon Saylor, best-selling author, professional speaker, and executive coach. And my life passion is empowering professionals to be the best that they can be. After years of working with professionals, I've discovered the 7 things nobody is telling you that can cost you your clients, sales, and even your career. And I want to give it to you free. You've heard my show, you know my passion, and maybe we'll be working together sooner rather than later. So go grab this ebook now to find out the 7 things that's costing you big time over at SharonSaylor.com/radio gift.
Wasn't Carol great? Oh my goodness, that was fantastic. Welcome back everyone to Life Interrupted Radio, where we've been understanding the grief process, but the way Carol shares it, it's so powerful that we can use many of her tips and techniques in our everyday life. The one that struck me the most that I thought was extremely powerful was the question, how is that for you? Now, she had it in the context of helping others. But what if we asked ourselves that question during our daily meditations? That's right. Let's take a moment right now and just find a nice, quiet place. Go to your favorite spot, whatever that is, and just take some nice, deep breaths. Get comfy, cozy. That's right. Just noticing our inhale and our exhale, letting that oxygen rush through and cleanse everything. And as we're continuing to breathe, ask ourselves the question, how is that for you? How is noticing our breath? That's right. As you continue to breathe deep, fully and completely, take the next few moments to notice, how is that for you? Maybe it's been a while since you've allowed yourself to breathe deeply, fully, and completely on a consistent basis. Surprising. Notice how with each breath, you continue to relax deeper and deeper. Notice muscles that haven't relaxed in a while begin to let go. And ask yourself that question, how is that for you? And listen to the responses you get of the various muscles, nerves, thoughts, just the moments. Allow whatever answers to how is that for you, just to be. Just for today, just for this moment. Spend some time in savoring the thoughts that come up. With every breath, you ask yourself, how is that for you? Then switch it up a bit and ask, how is that for me? Do you get a different answer? Fascinating, the power of words. Continuing to breathe deep and allowing all your muscles to continue to relax. That's right. That's right. Continue to breathe deep. And exploring, how is that? How is that for you? How is that for me? Continue to savor the moments. Just noticing. Noticing what it feels like to finally be relaxed completely, all the way down to your core. Each time you get an answer of how is that for you? How is that for me? Continue to play with the idea of continuing to relax into it. Just noticing the answers, and if there's any minor course correction, maybe some part of you is saying, not quite there into relaxation yet. Breathe through it. Breathe to it. That's right. Letting it all go. That's right. The power of our mind, power of our body, and the power that our breath has to change both of those. Amazing. Continue to savor each moment and just allow yourself to be here now. Listening with curiosity and imagination and creativity. No judgment. Just listening to whatever answers you hear to the question of, how is that for you? How is that for you? How is that for me? That's right. Oh, letting it all go. Having gratitude for whatever wanders through. Thanking it for showing up. Releasing it on the wind of your breath if need be. Taking it under advisement. Putting it into the new operating system, whatever works for you. That's right. By answering the question, how is that for you? How is that for me? It's about creating the optimal you, not just the average you. Not just the normal you. Answering those questions at the deep level and breathing through whatever happens. Letting go the things that no longer serve you on the wind of your breath. That's right. Allowing the optimal you to emerge. The awesome you to emerge, that's right. Spend some time contemplating the optimal awesome you. How is that for you? Take some time to savor the optimal awesome you. Let it integrate with each breath into every cell. That optimal awesome you. As you continue to answer the question, how is that for you? How is that for me? Will help you uncover what you need to know right now, right here, to continue your journey, to continue to be the optimal, awesome you. Gathering up everything you need, taking all the time you need, right here. Right now, continuing to breathe deep and letting any moments of doubt, insecurity go on the exhale, letting it out just as if it's on the wind. Only enjoying the moments that are right for you, the optimal, awesome you right now. That's right. That's right. As you finish gathering up all of the thoughts and the things that you want to take with you, as you come back to the present moment, to continue to implement the optimal, awesome you. That's right. You know what's best for you. You know what's right for you. The optimal, awesome you. Knowing that you can ask that question anytime, anywhere, any place. Anything creeps into your mind asking the question, how is that for me? How is that for you? Beginning to come back now. Opening your eyes. Back to the present moment. Ready to begin again. Refreshed, renewed, invigorated. Bringing back all of the information you gathered to continue to implement, to continue to create the optimal, awesome you. Continuing to breathe deep. Welcome back to the present moment. That's right. Oh, just thinking about the optimal, awesome you. How exciting is that? Who wants to be average? Who wants to be normal? Join me in being optimal. Having gratitude each and every day, regardless of what happens throughout the day. Taking moments to check in with yourself. Finding those moments of gratitude, of joy. Things that you will savor with you always, that's right. Oh my goodness, it's been my pleasure to be with you here again today on Life Interrupted Radio. And I want to thank Carol for her amazing interview and all of her insights on what was a tragic event in her life and how she turned it into triumph. Oh my goodness, thank you, Carol, for being my guest. And everyone, go have a great week, whatever your adventures, and be sure and join me here every Friday night at 7 p.m. for another live episode. And if you can't catch us live here on Life Interrupted Radio, know that we're available here on Blog Talk Radio as a podcast over at iTunes under Life Interrupted Radio. Be sure and go over there and subscribe. Would really appreciate it. Leaving comments that you want to leave about the show, you can always connect with me over at www.lifeinterruptedradio.com. There's a contact me page over there as well. If you'd like to be a guest, would like to hear more about a certain topic, would like to share a way that your life was interrupted and how you turned that transition into triumph. That's right. Over at www.lifeinterruptedradio, you can find all of our past episodes there as well. So thank you for being here with me, spending this hour with me. And I look forward to being with you next week. Now go have a great day, whatever your adventures. Bye-bye for now.
The information provided on LifeInterruptedRadio.com is for educational purposes only. What you hear, read, and see on Life Interrupted Radio is based on experience only. The information presented here should never be used for any legal, diagnostic, or treatment purposes. Always seek sound legal, medical, and/or professional advice regarding any problems, conditions, and any of the recommendations you see, hear, or read here on Life Interrupted Radio. You've been listening to Life Interrupted Radio. To learn more, listen to other shows, and gain free resources that can help empower your life, be sure to stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com. This episode is brought to you by mindfulnessinactionbook.com. To get your free 4-minute guided meditation to relax, refresh, and renew in just 4 minutes, and who doesn't have 4 minutes? Stop by mindfulnessinactionbook.com now. This guided meditation is in handy MP3 format, so you can use it anywhere, anytime. Download it now at mindfulnessinactionbook.com.
Do you want to be a better leader, have better relationships, become more self-aware, be a better communicator? Hi, I'm Sharon Saylor, best-selling author, professional speaker, and executive coach. And my life passion is empowering professionals to be the best that they can be. After years of working with professionals, I've discovered the 7 things nobody is telling you that can cost you your clients, sales, and even your career. And I want to give it to you free. You've heard my show, you know my passion, and maybe we'll be working together sooner rather than later. So go grab this ebook now to find out the 7 things that's costing you big time over at sharonsaylor.com/radio gift.
This is the EWN Radio Network.